What is the church? What is the church? What is the church for? What is the church all about? Is the church about buildings? Well, as you've been reminded a few times already this morning, it's not really about buildings. Buildings are useful, very useful, especially on a rainy day like this. But the church is not about the building, nor is it about a sort of a club with rules of membership. Maybe rules that can change over time. Maybe rules that very quickly become outdated and have to be sort of revised and updated to fit with the modern world. Well, there is an expectation about how to live, but it's not a club with just a few rules about membership. Is the church a place for old people or sad people or stupid people? Or is the church just where getting married people or dead people go? Is the church actually, in our day and age, pretty much of a dead institution? And we're the kind of dying embers. You know, there's quite a few of you here today, but basically it's dying out, it's outdated, it has nothing to say to our modern world. Well, I want to say, because the Bible says, and because we have experienced, that the church is very much alive. It's not about buildings, it's not about rules, it's not really about membership. It's about a living relationship with Christ, and it's very much alive, and it's very much on the march throughout the world. And we're going to think for a few moments about what the church is and what it's here for. We've been looking together as a church family at 1 Peter, and in God's goodness and a bit of our planning, we managed to arrive just on this day, not only in the building, but in a text that kind of suits being in the building. And that's what we're going to look at from 1 Peter 2, verse 4 onwards through to verse 10. Gives us a bit of an answer to the question, what is the church? Why is it here? Let's see what it says together. Well, the first thing to notice is that the church is really, really about people. And we have to keep telling ourselves this. The church of Christ is a building of spiritual people. It's a spiritual house. You see, Peter describes it, chapter 2, verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Living stones sounds a bit like kind of Narnia or something, doesn't it? Or there's a few scenes in Pirates of the Caribbean where you've got these sea-like sort of creatures who have been under the sea a long time, and they can sort of just melt into the walls of the ship and become part of the walls. So it sounds a little bit spooky. But really, it's just to try and give a kind of this really vivid picture of stones, which seem very dead things, but they're living stones. They're alive. They're kind of glowing. They're moving. They really are alive. The church is not about a building, but it is about a building. But it's not about a building that's made of bricks and mortar. It's about a building that's made up of people who are alive in all kinds of ways. They're living, they're breathing, but they're also alive to Jesus. It's what's described as a spiritual house built on Jesus Christ. So the church isn't a building, it's about people, people like you and me. The building is just a place where people meet. Think about a football team. Is the football stadium the football team? No, it isn't. The football stadium is just a place where the team play. It may be greatly identified with them. It may be a great facility for them. You might have kind of romantic feelings about a particular stadium if you support a club. A whole load of things I could say there, which I'm not allowed to say. About which club's good and which clubs are bad and all that kind of thing. But you know how it goes. But in the end, it's the team that matters, not the place, not the stadium. And in the end, it's the church that matters, not the building. Keeps the rain out. We're glad for this one. We want this building to be used a lot. We want it to be used as much as it can through the week. We want to get all the chairs, or as many as we can, and get them behind these and close the doors and use this main hall for children's clubs and other activities and toddler groups and anything else that seems appropriate having it. So we want the building to be used, but in the end, what matters is people and people connected to Jesus Christ. You see, it's not just that the church is made up of people who happen to kind of wander in. It's not just people who feel a bit religious or a bit self-righteous or feel a bit sinful this week and kind of in need of a bit of spiritual help. It's specifically people who who are building on Jesus Christ, recognizing his unique claims. The church is people who live by Jesus, and the church is people who live for Jesus. It's because of him that they're alive in the way that Peter describes here as living stones. They're alive because of Jesus, so they live by Jesus. He makes the building possible. He's the cornerstone on which it rests. But they also live for Jesus, and they want to be like Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 19, Peter's already told us. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He made it possible for us to be spiritually alive. So we live by Jesus. But also he's the pattern for our living. He's the model. He's the cornerstone in every sense. So we build ourselves on him. So our spiritual life doesn't come from our religiousness. It doesn't come from our sense of self-righteousness. It comes from building on Jesus. We live because of him and we live for him. And we want to be like him. He's our model. He's our goal. He's the one that we aspire to be, like Jesus. So we're Christ Church, the church of Christ Jesus, who build on him and who want to be like him. Jesus sets the line. Jesus sets the agenda. Jesus is the one who's in charge. He's the basis. He's the pattern. He's the one we square ourselves against. And so to Christians, Jesus is precious. So precious. We trust him. We look to him to set our goals. Even though we haven't seen him, even then, though in person, we can't introduce you to him this morning. Even though we haven't seen him with our eyes, we love him. We actually love him because he's done so much for us. And just knowing him, we are unbelievably joyful and happy. Just through knowing him. So Jesus to us is precious. And for all the good things that we want this church to do, and for all the great feelings there are in being friends with each other, having many friends joining us today, for all the good feeling that gives us, our greatest feeling, our greatest joy, and what we know is best, is that we know Jesus. He's precious to us. He's the only thing that really matters to us. Sometimes God takes things away from us so we realize that, because often we forget it. During these past few weeks, I have, and I'm sure some other people, have kind of forgotten what the church is about. I have thought so much about what the building is like. I really couldn't care less in normal life what colour the lino was and all that kind of stuff. Look at my house. But somehow, I've cared so much in these last few weeks. The building has become rather precious to me. You know, I care about how the chairs are set out and whether the doors are open or closed and where the signs go, where the toilet, you know those loo roll holders in there when you go in there? Me and Ben and the other builder put some of those up, and they were kind of precious to me for a moment. But I, lots of funny stories. Lots of great conversations in the toilets yesterday, by the way. It's a very fascinating whole process. There's a whole film you can make about that corridor. But you know what? It's passing, and you know it's passing. It's just a moment in time where you get intense and it kind of takes over you, but you think, no, this has got to go. Because what's really important is the church, and what's really, really important is Jesus Christ. He's precious to us. But he's rejected by some. Years ago, some of the people who should have loved Jesus rejected Jesus. The Jewish people in Israel where Jesus was born. Especially sad, because they should have immediately recognized him as the promised king. But instead of believing him, they rejected. And it's kind of like, instead of Jesus being the cornerstone for them, actually, it's like one of those bricks out there being put on the path and we trip over it. That's what Jesus was like to them. That's what Jesus is like to some people today. Maybe that's what Jesus is like to you. He's not a cornerstone. He's not precious to you. He's actually somebody that you kind of trip over. He gets in your way. He mucks up your life. You don't want to follow him. You don't want to be like him. And you don't think you even need him. So he's rejected by some, but to the church, Jesus is precious. Not the institution, the person, Jesus. Some people want to build their lives on Jesus. Some people see that Jesus gets in the way of them building the lives they want. But we as a church, and we as Christians, want to build our lives on Jesus. So the Church of Christ is people. But what kind of people? Well, people with a purpose. Christ's church is there for worship and for witness. What is a church for then? Is it just for marriages? Is it for funerals? Is it for kind of entertaining children for an hour or two during the week? Is that what church is all about? Is it about cups of tea and cucumber sandwiches? Is that what church is for? Is it somewhere to go when you feel sad or feel happy? Is that what church is about? What are we here for as a church? What do the people of God do? Well, they're described here as God's chosen people, bringing spiritual sacrifices, which amount to this, declaring God's praises, declaring God's praises, worshipping, witnessing. Those verses from 8 onwards, halfway through 8 onwards. Sorry, I mean verse 9 onwards. It's my eyesight. Are about the church being compared really with God's people in the Old Testament, and in particular the priests. In the Old Testament of the Bible, in the early history of God's dealing with people, there were priests who would be able to go occasionally into the presence of God and would make sacrifices on behalf of the people. And Peter says, for Christians, this is an experience for all of you. You're a royal priesthood. Everything is good about that description. You're royal. You've got dignity. You've got authority. And you're a priesthood. You've got access to the actual presence of God. That's what you are. Once you weren't a people like that, but now you are the people of God, having access to his presence. And so you want to praise God. So what is the church there for? What are we here for? Well, fundamentally, it's to declare the praises of God. And that starts with worshiping God, wanting to worship God. So we want to say to God with our words and with our lives, with songs, with our work, with our marriages, with our homes, with our jobs, with everything we do, we want to declare the praise of God. We want to worship God. Whatever we're doing, whatever we're running, whoever we're trying to help or minister to, whatever club is going on here, whatever is happening, we want to be the worshiping people of God who say, God is great, we love him. We've been saved through Jesus and we want to express our praise to God and say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We love Christ, we love our Father in heaven, and we want to say that a lot. We want to be the worshiping people of God, saying that in words. We want to be saying that in deeds as well. We want to be saying that in our work. We want to be saying that in our marriages. We want to be saying that when we get up in the morning. We want to be saying that when we go to bed at night. We want to be saying that on the bus and on the train and playing football. We want to be saying God is great. We want to be the worshipping people of God. And we want to be the witnessing people of God too, don't we? We have a Bible. It's in our language. People need to keep translating it, so it's in our current language, the way we speak now. And the church is here to say, we want to praise God, but we also want to declare his praises. So we want to say to people, this is what God says. You can care or not about what I have an opinion on, which football team I like, whether I like my egg sunny side up or, you know, ruined in some way. You could care or not. But the church is not there to say really what my opinion is about stuff. The church is there to say, this is what God says. We declare, this is what God says. We don't have an option about it. This is what God says. We declare the word of God. So we want this church to be a church that has the Bible at its centre. Because that's what we've got. We haven't got a load of opinions about what we think God says. We've got the Bible. And this church, if it wants to have Jesus as the cornerstone, needs to have the Bible at its centre. And to be saying, this is what God says here, this is what God says here, this is what God says here. And this is what it means for you, a child. This is what it means for you, an older person. This is what it means for you in your work. This is what it means for you as you play. This is what it means for you as you live. This is what it means for you as you die. This is the word of God to you. It's the most important thing. And if you want to know Jesus as your precious cornerstone, you need to hear the word of God. So we want to declare the praises of God. That's what the Church of Christ is all about. And of course, part of that is that we live it out. And next week, where you're most welcome to come back here at 10:30 again, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 12, where we think about, well, what does that look like if I'm trying to declare the praises of God, not just in words, but in what I do? How am I going to live? Well, there's lots of help in the Bible about how we're going to live if we want to praise God. Some of that is telling people the good news about Jesus. Some of that is showing people the good news about Jesus. So we want to stay involved in Saltworks Cafe. We want to stay involved in as many young people's groups and clubs that we can do. We want to help those who are elderly and frail. We want to help those with learning difficulties. We want the building to do more, and we want to do all those things to declare the praises of our God. That's what the church is about. That's how we build on Jesus Christ. So we're Christ Church. We are the church of Christ, a local expression of the church of Christ, where people are on a journey, loving Christ, living for Christ, by our worship and by our witness. That's what we want to be. Now, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? What is your life all about? What drives you? What do you love? What will give you satisfaction? What are you building on? Who are you? We want to be the people of God, building on Jesus. And we want you to join the Church of Christ. You don't have to join this church. I'm not sure we could cope with all of you. But we really want you to join the Church of Christ. Would you do that? Let's pray for God's help.